We're continuing our series on knowing Jesus, and I thought about this whole concept we've been talking about of the difference between knowing about and knowing, and how that takes place. I thought about my wife, Debbie. For those of you who don't know, it would be hard to believe, but Debbie and I started dating. Our first date, I think it was in 1977, and So in that spot in 1977, I know I don't look that old, but it was. And Debbie does, there's a debate if this was a date or not. It was clearly a date. I'm a perceiver. It was a date. But it was a, she questions that. She thought I didn't have anybody to ride in the canoe with me. We went on a canoe trip, and I was desperate, and I picked her up. But that wasn't it. I actually intentionally asked her, and so don't believe her when she tells you different after church. And we had 4 hours in the canoe together. And before I knew about Debbie, I knew things about her, but quite honestly, I didn't know Debbie. After 4 hours, I started knowing, and that started our relationship, and it just continued to the place that I got to know her more and more. And since Danielle kind of humbled herself with old pictures, I thought I'd humble myself with old pictures. This is Debbie and I about a year after the canoe trip. I can remember this moment. We were at an apartment. I remember this. And if you would have gone to me right then, I would say, do you know this gal? I said, oh, I've known her for a year, man. We've been doing stuff. We've been talking. I've been telling her about myself. And I'd say, I know her. And I did. I knew her. I truly knew her. And I loved her. The reality of it was, though, is I'm looking back now and realizing, okay, I've been married 38 years. That's okay. 40 years ago, 40 years I've had with Debbie Pine and then Debbie Stark. I've been around her. I've actually had the most in-depth conversations, but more than that, when I look at this, I think, I remember what I felt like when I was at this spot, and I thought, I know Debbie, and I did, but now you know what? I know Debbie. You know how that works? There's a spot where you come to know people, and this is a thing of relationship. There's this thing about relationship. It really gets this way. You commit to a person, and you are around each other, and you keep your heart soft, and amazing things happen, right? And so how did this happen that I know Debbie so well? It's because I've been doing life with her for 40 years, right? So how does that work with us and God? I mean, you can't completely compare Debbie and I's relationship with her relationship with God or my relationship with God. She's never once got to know me better and said, Pi, you are perfect. You know, she didn't say that once. It's different than God. She didn't say, I was thinking about worshiping you, but I won't because I shouldn't. She's never had that question has never come to her mind, right? So what is true in the comparison is this, is God is truly, truly relational and personal in the deepest way. And as we stay with him, and we don't pull away from him, we just allow him to be part of all of our life, and we go through life with him, with us, we come to know him. Not just know about him, we literally know who God is at a deep level. And that transforms us. And that's what we're going to be talking about, this whole thing of God is personal. And so as we talk about the shepherd being good and us knowing him and him knowing us, this is really this intimate relationship that God wants us to have with him. Now, as the thing about this is, you know, you can't get around this in Scripture. I mean, you'd have to really get rid of most of the Bible if you didn't understand that this thing, this God we serve, this Jesus who is who God in the flesh, who we see Jesus, we know who God is, right? We can't get around how personal he is. I mean, the terms that we use all the time, just think about them for how personal it means to be the bride, to be the beloved child. You think about how in, you know, this whole thing of even the shepherd and the sheep and thinking about what that means. And think about Psalms 23, which describes our relationship with God as the shepherd and the love that's there. And he cares for us and he watches over and provides for us and makes us rest. And then we get to places of of dark valleys and difficult, horrible times, he stays near us and gets us through that. And then there's a big banquet. I mean, it doesn't get any more relational. I mean, it's just over and over we see that through Scripture. We see these Scriptures we've been talking about during this time of how we have these Pharisees who, they studied the Bible and they knew all the Scripture, right? And yet, that Bible, he was really upset with them because it didn't take them to him. The Bible is to take us to Jesus. And it's like, it's not good enough just to know those great principles. Those are supposed to take you to the person of Jesus. And he was rebuking them for just knowing the Bible, but not letting it take it to them. So that's what he's after. He's after relationship. And then you read these kind of crazy scriptures like we did last week of, you know, he's like a hen and I'm a chick and he's protecting me, you know. Now, sometimes when you read those things about the Pharisees, you got all those, they have the black hat Pharisees, they're just the bad guys, you know, and us Christians. You know, the reality is, when I read about the Pharisees, it always is convicting because there's always a little Pharisee in me. You know, I look and I go, oh, I get it, right? And quite honestly, on this particular, you know, subject, they bring to mind my life as a Christian for numbers and numbers of years, which I studied the Bible, I showed up at church, I tried to follow God, and I'm not saying it wasn't very real, but I got to a place in my life, and I could not refer to my relationship with God as personal. I felt hypocritical and like I would be lying. I didn't say I didn't have a relationship. I actually said I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I believe he was truly the Son of God, I believe he forgave me for my sins, but I couldn't, now back then everybody said personal relationship, that was kind of like the buzzword. I couldn't say it. And there's a period of time I would not say it because I felt, and it was just, I just was getting honest with God. And what I can say now though, back then I thought to myself, my relationship with Jesus does not resemble the 23rd Psalm. It doesn't. It doesn't resemble the bride and the groom. Or the beloved child, safe. I mean, it wasn't personal like that. Now, I can say now that actually, those words actually aren't enough to describe it. I can tell you right now, honestly, with complete honesty, it is the most personal relationship I have of any relationship. It tops everything. And so today I want to talk about kind of how that takes place. So, like, if you hear and maybe you, as you're listening to it, you think, I don't even know if I actually have a relationship with God. I mean, I know about him. It's hard to be in St. Louis that don't know something about Jesus and the death and the resurrection. But when it talks about a relationship, you may say, I would like that, but I don't have it. If you're in that spot today, just come forward. We'll pray for you, and you can have that relationship, right? But some of you might have that relationship, but you're a little bit more like me, where you find yourself in a spot that you've experienced Jesus, you know he's true, you believe in him, you're glad you're with him, but you don't call your relationship, it's not very personal. If that's the case, I'm just saying, don't be satisfied with that. God wants to help you get to a place that it's personal. And some of you are just like, it is personal. You're just like, yes, I'm glad you're teaching on this. I want to think about it some more, you know. And if you're in that spot, here's what you can know. The very aspect of a personal relationship, it always goes deeper. The very concept of love, the way a relationship works, it never stays static. It always goes deeper as you're around one another more. As you come to know God more, the more you know him, the deeper your relationship will go with him. Right, and you can see that in the writings all through the New Testament. And so, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about this personal connection. And when Jesus talks about this personal connection, he's preparing them for his death, and he's going to be ascended, and he's going to leave this earth. And so he's preparing his followers, and he tells them, now, this is how you're going to live. Now, he's speaking just like he would talk to us, because it would be through the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will stay with you. I will be with you always. And so he's saying, what I need you to do is I want you to stay connected to me. And he uses this example of a vine, which is really the trunk of what you see up here, And the branch is what comes off that grapevine, which the grapes come onto. And we are the branches, and he is the vine. And many of you have heard this teaching a lot. It's a very good teaching. But I want you to be thinking about the relational aspect of this parable. So when Jesus talks about it, he's saying, now this is how you build relationship with me. It's a visual picture of that. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father loves me, has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you. Isn't that cool? God's joy is in us, and that your joy will be complete. Now, that's about as personal as it gets. You know, not like I know God, I know Jesus, I've talked to him a few times, and he's talked to me. That's pretty personal for the God of the universe. No, it's saying, no, I'm connected to God. I'm actually, my life comes from him, and he's always with me, and I'm connected to him. He is the vine, and I'm the branch. And as I am just who I am and let him into my life, his life flows into me, and my life produces fruit. And I get to experience that, and it brings glory to him as well. It puts me in this place that, and then we start seeing in his verses, and even goes down further, this talks about this place of, and it's this participation in this relationship that we're asking things of him, and he's doing things. And so it's real important here to know, many times Christians, when they talk about God flowing through them, they use the term conduit, right? I am just the conduit of God, you know? And I guess I was a little cynical there, but the reality of it is, it's like, you know, the joke was one time is someone said, that was a beautiful, you did a great job on the worship, and they said, I'm just a conduit of God. I said, well, did God play that wrong key? the thing in that is this. Good theological question there. But we aren't just conduits of God. We are living human beings, uniquely and designed by God, connected in a living way to a living God. That's a whole different deal. And we're in this participating relationship with him where we're asking and receiving. And later on in this text, you'll see that, oh, by the way, now we've moved you from servant because you've been connecting to me as your disciples. Now I call you friends and I let you in on what all the business of the Father, right? So we have to understand that God is wanting us to be deeply connected to him, and that's how we get to know him. There's this place of participation, depending and relying. There's this place in which that we get connected to him by taking his scripture, and that takes us to him. And then when we're in his connected to him, then scripture becomes deeply built within us as we're experiencing him, right? Pretty good deal. And this image is what it talks about in this image is this place of, it's really a simple thing that's said over and over times. I think it's like 9 times in just a few verses. This term, remain in me. Remain in me. Over and over. You must remain in me. You know why he says it so many times? Because we need to hear it that many times. And whenever you see something said that much, you should say, man, he's trying to get the point across here. Here's a simple fact. He doesn't say, if you do this and do this and do that and this, you'll remain in me. He says, just remain in me. And then this transformation takes place. You know, it's not like, then you'll become, if you do this and this, then you'll become connected to the vine. No, it's that you come and who you are connects to me. And that question would be, don't just come to me, just don't receive me, now remain in me. And this place of understanding that, and I talk about this a lot, but I still hear it. We talk about this place of dependency. And when we think about a child, we think of a dependent, right? They're dependent on, and so we think about, but the problem with that analogy, a beloved child, is when you mature, what do? You pull away further and further from your parents. You don't need them anymore, you know? So, you know, it's unhealthy if you got somebody who's, you know, 45 and his mom's feeding him, you know, feeding his food and taking care of him and cleaning up after his mess, you know. There's something like, unhealthy, right? That's not a healthy situation. You're supposed to grow to dependence on not them. You're supposed to grow to interdependence and become independent, right? But in the kingdom, understand that this understanding of calling you a child is saying the more you mature, the more you become greater in dependency. And so that is what this image gives us, this understanding that without this total dependency upon the vine, nothing happens. And growth in Christ is this spot of growing to a place of greater and greater dependency, needing him more. Right? Relying on him more. Now, our fear in our flesh cries out, you know, I want to be independent, right? You know, we're the, in the 23rd Psalm, we're the sheep who keeps jumping up saying, I want to be the shepherd, you know. So we have a tendency of always our flesh going to that. It's just a spot we think, if I yield myself fully, like it shows in this imagery, I'm going to lose myself. And you won't lose yourself. You will find yourself. The more you depend fully on God, the more you come to know who he is, and the more you come to know he is, you're transformed by that. And you become who God has designed you to be, and it releases you into freedom. Now, as we battle this, isn't this the battle that you try to do it without being connected to the vine? It's like for me, I get my assignment from God, and I just run from the vine, you know. He said, no, you have to stay and you have to remain in me all through life, no matter what life takes you to. You know, it's this place we talk about coming to God and allowing him to have our life, all of our life, brought to him and connected to him. I referred to this book when I was a while back, but when I first became a Christian, one of the books that were around was called My Heart, I believe, My Heart, Christ's Home. And it's kind of a popular book to help you kind of understand what Jesus wants. It's a little cheesy, but it was really meaningful back then. But it was this spot in saying when you invite Jesus into your life, it's that you're inviting him into all your life. And you invite him into your heart. But often what happens, we leave him in the entryway. You know, like, okay. And we shut all the other doors, right? And this whole thing was saying, by the way, there's all these doors to your heart, and he doesn't bust them down. He wants you to open them and trust him with that. Those closets you hide, have things hidden in, the rec room of what you do for your pleasure, your bedroom, what you do for sexuality, and what you, as far as your kitchen, you can just go on and put your different things, how you handle your money, all that stuff, right? And I remember thinking when I read that, when I first became a Christian, I'm like, no way, man. I mean, my image of God was like, I mean, I knew I should. I mean, I knew that pretty clearly, but I thought, I don't know if I could do that. Because I thought about, you know, these shows where they have the people who clutter, have too much clutter, you know, and they go in and they say, okay, get rid of it. You know, and they go, I can't. And they say, no, you can. And they can't. And they won't do it for them. And they sit there and there's this standoff and there's this clutter and they're all crying. And I think, that'll be what it's going to be like when Jesus goes into my closet, right? When he goes into my sexuality, it's going to be like, David, here's what you need to do. You know, I'm your life coach. Get going. And it's like, I don't think it's going to work. So guess what I do? I don't open the door. I don't bring myself to him because that's what I fear. And so as we're at that spot, what we have to understand is we're at a place in which that there's this strong contrast of if you want life, you have to be connected. If you don't connect, life comes out of you. So the idea of him coming into places of your life isn't to shape you up. It's to come in and bring life into places, to allow his very presence and who he is to do that. And that happens when we just simply are honest and allow him to come into the places of our heart, the places of in our life. You know, it's this spot in which that, you know, we're at a place where we often think of Jesus as coach. Now, he is in some ways. He's our teacher. He's an encourager. I mean, there's aspects of that are true. But really, biblically, he is our teacher, but quite honestly, a catalyst is much more biblical to who he is. You know, when they looked at the disciples and said, how did this happen? They said, oh, they were around Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus taught them lots of stuff, but you know what really transformed them? They came to know Jesus by hanging around him. And they couldn't hide their stuff because they're with him for 3 years. So they see all of them. They realize how he responds to them. And you know, a catalyst is really something that transforms something but never changes itself. Right? A catalyst, the term of that is you it could be in a chemical reaction or whatever, but a catalyst is it comes into something, it transforms everything around it, but it stays exactly the same. That's really what Jesus does. I mean, right now, let me give you an example of this. Now, God could speak to you really good instructions on what you should do in your marriage, what you do in this area of life, and that's encouraging because you hear him, you speak to him. But quite honestly, if the God, Jesus, showed up in full glory right now, we would all have transformation without him saying a word because we'd see who he was, right? We'd start seeing, and he'd be a catalyst. And so the understand of getting him connected to us, we often think of him like he's going to coach us, which he does. But what he does is when we connect to him, no matter what our real selves to him, it starts transforming who we are by simply yielding and being honest to who we are with him and giving him access to us. So in that spot is, you know, that's where it's talking about this place of remain in me. It says it over and over. What that means is don't pull away from me. Stay and let me be present with you. Don't close off your heart to me. Remain in me. And we say, well, what's it? You know, it just works. Jesus is Emmanuel. He wants to be with us. It's strange, but he loves being around you. And you say, well, what part of me does he love being around? All of you. Well, what about this bad spot? Oh, he loves that part too, because then he can help, he can love you, he can bring his power and his grace to you. And so when you think about remaining in Jesus, it really means, you know, everything, in all things, you stay with him. And if you just commit and stay with him, and you say, I'm not going to leave you. And when the enemy tries to get you to have shame and pull away from him, and when you sin really bad, and you think, well, I'm going to have to stay away from him for a while now, you say, no, I'm not leaving him. I'm just going to go to him just how I am. I'm going to learn to live in that spot. I mean, it's everything. It's like when you're dreaming about your future, do it with him there with you, a part of, and let him help understand what your future is. It's much better than what you're coming up with in your mind. It's much more exciting and much more freeing. You know, when you get to a spot of trying to figure out what you're made for, remain in him, and he'll help you with that process. When you decide, okay, I got to go to work now, remain in him. Oh, I got to go to school now, remain in him. In other words, understand he wants to do all of life with you, just like he did the disciples, and even more so. And in that process, it will transform you. When you're trying to decide what to do with your money, how you spend it, what you give, don't do that alone. Do it with Jesus, with you. When you want to get to it, when you're in a relationship, you know, do that relationship, whatever that kind of relationship is that's getting closer and closer, do that with Jesus, with you. If you're in a spot of you're going through your day and you make a choice, big choice, small choice, just say, have God along with you, right? And then the spots of like when you're tempted, when you feel temptation, don't wait to say, okay, I hope I don't go to God right there in your temptation and remain with him. Don't let the temptation have you close your eyes to him. Stay right in the middle, eyes wide open, the temptation, who Jesus is. In the spot of when you sin and mess up, you know, stay with him, remain with him. And we have the area of struggle that doesn't seem to go away and you keep falling into that same thing. Just have him with you in that. Every time you fall, just. Now, I know that sounds maybe simple, but I'm telling you, or complicated. I mean, it's hard to do, but it's the spot of, I'm telling you, it having him see all of who you are and you see his response will let you know who he is. And you can't do that when you pull away from him, when you go through pain. And really in this area, it's really what I was, the last few I talked about, it's really just about this spot of remain in your incompleteness and your brokenness. Do you realize you're all of us are incomplete on this earth, right? It will be complete later, but we're not now. How long will this last? For a lifetime. But God will continue to bring wholeness to us. So we have to stay in our incompleteness and our brokenness in the process and allowing him to remain with that. See, oftentimes, like many of you right now, I might have certain things in your life, you go, man, I know this isn't pleasing to God. And so your thinking is, this is really going to mess things up. This is really keeping me from my relationship with God, the sin of my life, this thing. Do you understand that is that your brokenness is not keeping you away from God? What's keeping you away from God is you're hiding your brokenness. He wants to come into our process, and he wants to come into our brokenness. So if you feel threatened and ashamed, remain in him. If you're confused and have questions, remain in him. If you're trying to love a person that seems like you can't love, remain in him. If you're treated unfairly, if you have life circumstances, whether good or bad, if you're in pain, right now, some of you are in pain. Sometimes it's emotionally, and sometimes some of you are going through really, really difficult things, and you're just in emotional pain, or the circumstances are just beating you up in life. I'm just telling you, God has intimacy for you, not later, but now. But it's so hard to go to God when we're struggling. Now, I got to thinking about this, and my life really is so different than it used to be. And I think, what changed? I think it's been a process, right, of me moving from knowing about God to knowing God. But I thought, what was the time that I moved from knowing about to knowing God at the fastest rate I've ever seen? And I thought about it, and I thought, it's a story you already know. So I decided, I'll change to another story. But you know me, I can't. So I'm going to use the same story. But the reason, and I thought that's why I talk about this story so much. It's not because it's such a sad story. It's such a good story. And so for me, you know, when Debbie and I were, after we were been married and been 8 years, we were trying to have kids. We couldn't have kids. And as you know, it took us to this really painful, confusing season. We did not feel God's life in us. We felt dried up. But we were still determined to not leave God, but we did not know how to connect to him. And so Debbie was going into a very, very deep depression, and I was ramping up. The feeling would be like, if I went down the whole, it felt like we were going to go down the drain together. So I was the strong one, always wondering how she was going to do. It just kept getting worse, though. And finally, after we weren't able to have children, after numbers of crazy stuff, we felt like we were supposed to adopt. And then that didn't go good. And finally, we got to that point that, you know, we have the baby signed over. The girl is coming to our house. And that finally, because here's how I've been praying during this time to Jesus. I want a baby. That's what I've been praying. That's pretty much it. Get me a baby. This would fix it. Just get us a baby. I did it a lot nicer than that, very much more religious than that. But that was my heart. Like that, we just there's that's what we need here. And I was trying to not, you know, believe God. I was trying to stay together and hold on and have faith. And I remember when we finally had our baby girl coming, and everybody's driving up, and I remember thinking, and you're that feeling you can finally give yourself over, right? So as we gave ourselves over, and then we got the phone call that the birth mother came back and changed her mind and took the baby. And when that happened, which most of you know, I did not do well. I literally went to the darkest place I've ever gone to. I lost any ability to fight. And I actually lost periods of time in there. I don't know. And here's the strange thing. It was the most horrible thing I've gone through. I think I went through a few worse than after that. But that was, at that time, it was the most horrible thing I'd gone through in my life. And it was the most amazing thing I'd done in my life. Because when I got to a spot where I had nothing, not even a thought other than I don't want to turn from God. That's all I had. I try not to turn from God. I found out who God was. Because I experienced him. You know, when you're at that state and then God comes to you, you understand it has nothing to do with you. And you understand how, and I remember trying to figure out, I never want to go through that again, and I'm so glad it happened, because from that point on, I begin understanding I can experience God no matter what I go through. If it's good, bad, it's God is never going to leave me. I can remain in him through anything. And it's changed the whole paradigm and that started a whole process of me finally understanding that this scripture that we've been talking about is true. You know, this whole thing of remaining in me is true. If you do that, if you just, and here's what, so it's not complicated. It's not that it's easy spiritually, but God will give you the power to do that. You need him to help you do it. But if you choose to be who you truly are in all areas of life to greater and greater degrees, you'll get more and more connected, and you will come to know who he is, and you'll experience him. Now, so if you want to know God, that's your spot, is that spot that you don't know what to do with, that you don't really know how to take to God, and yet he's asking you, come, take that, be honest with me. And when you do that, he comes into it very quickly, and he's catalytic. You know, I can't think of anything he necessarily said to me when I had this breakdown, but he was catalytic. Something changed in me. I knew him now. He affected me. And our spot is simply to say, here's who I honestly am, and I want to trust you in this area of my life the best I know how, and help me do that. If the worship team wants to come up, it'd be great. I want to close with a challenge. Welcome God into the part of your life that you need life and fruit in. In other words, look at your life and where does it feel a little bit like dry branches, you know? Where do you need life? And say, God, would you be, I don't know how to do this, but I want to take this to you and say, I want you to start bringing life into this. I want to remain in you in this area. I don't want to pull away from you. I want to just be who I am in this place. And then ask God through your day, just as a prayer, God, show me how to remain in you right now. You know? How to just stay with you. And if you do that, he will begin becoming more and more personal.